Huh? No, oh, that's right, with us. Okay, and I sit there. Okay. Can you just say something? Can you say something?
Hello, microphone.
Okay.
Are you working?
Can you say something?
Okay, see
you. See you, well, I born in Lawak, Lawak North, in 1906.
1906.
And I live with my parents. We live not regular living, not so rich, not so poor. My father and our living from capital. He was a foreman of capital, making building house. He earned his our living from that.
In the población of Lawak?
In Lawak.
In the población, in the town proper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lawak. Yeah.
What you could give us the names of your parents, that would then that would be.
Oh well, my father's name was Marcelo Barrain.
Marcelo.
And my mother's Petra Domingo.
Petra Domingo, that's why you have D there, yeah. Okay.
We grew up there, and then my uncle came to Hawaii.
Your mother's brother or your father's?
My father's brother.
What was his name?
Gregorio.
Gregorio
Barrain.
Barrain, okay.
What year was this when he came?
How old were you when he came here?
That was 1927 I came. He came 2 years ahead of him. Come on, 1924, 1925, something like that.
What did your parents do, Mano? What livelihood?
His father was a carpenter.
Oh, was a carpenter, yeah.
And the mother?
My mother is a housewife.
How many brothers and sisters were you?
I had two. And five sisters.
You were the only thorn among all the roses?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, you were the oldest? No.
So when my uncle came to Hawaii a couple years ago, he decided to order me to come to Hawaii to pay my fare. And I came to Hawaii through that.
So he was the one who ordered you. You didn't come through the Hawaiian sugar plant?
I came under the sugar plant.
Oh, you came on a contract?
Yeah, on a contract.
But he's the one who arranged?
Yeah, right.
Arranged for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And where was he in Hawaii?
He was in the Big Island.
In the Big Island? Hilo or?
Pahalakau. In Pahalakau.
Did you go directly there then?
Yes, as soon as we arrived from immigration, we wait for another boat and then we go to the Big Island.
How was the trip? Tell us a little bit about the trip.
Was very bad because you know these days only small boat, eh? It's just like tugboat.
Winter time, you travel? December?
December 2 was rough, kind of rough weather.
You remember the boat's name, the ship's name?
When I came to Hawaii?
Yeah.
President McKinley.
President McKinley.
Right. Okay.
So how?
And the boat to Honolulu to Hilo is, to Kauai, I forgot the name, Halikalai. No? Halikala. I don't know.
I wasn't born.
Halikala.
So this is 1927. You arrived here in, the boat came to Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got on another boat and went to the Big Island.
Big Island, right.
And your uncle met you there.
Met me there.
And you started work on?
Under the plantation.
Was that sugar or?
Sugar. Hawaii Agriculture Company. Hawaiian Agriculture Company.
Oh, that's what, the Hawaiian Agricultural Company.
Yeah.
Manu, just before that, whose decision was it when your uncle asked you to come? What were your parents' feelings about you leaving, especially you were the oldest boy?
Well, they sorry, I know. They feel sorry, but because of my uncle want me to go, to come here Hawaii, so they let me go. And my father, he advised me too that you go there and continue to the school.
Yeah.
But I feel I did not do that.
Yeah,
I didn't do it. So I stay with my uncle.
Tell me, you didn't go to school because you were busy with all the mga babae.
No.
Definitely
not,
over here.
No,
big eyes.
Oh, big eyes. Yeah.
So you forgot.
No, I really want to go to school.
So you also had to work.
Yeah, I have to work. And this day is only $1 a day. It's very hard to save money. I really want to go to school. I applied the technical school in California.
Through magazine.
Mechanic school in California, Los Angeles.
What year was that?
1928, I think.
28. After
about
one year.
After a year, I was in.
How many years of schooling did you have, Mano, before you left?
I was only 8th grade.
8th grade.
When I came to Hawaii.
Well, that's a lot.
That's very high. So my father told me to go to Hawaii and continue school. But I feel I didn't do it. But even then.
Was it easy for you to apply to come? Like, how did you apply to come? Did your uncle?
My uncle put all the applications. He did all the applications. And when the application came to
Lawab,
they called me to see the agent, immigration agent.
In Manila?
No, in Lawab.
In
Lawab.
It was a labor agent.
Labor agent,
yeah, right. And they had labor bureau
right.
All over the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. To do all that.
You could tell us, if you like, a little bit about your life on the plantation. Like where you lived, how you ate, who were your friends, what sorts of activities did you get
in
to have, and you get even the babae.
How you started. Tell me, you started from labor.
Well, I started from labor, cutting cane. But, you know, those days, they could hardly find some Filipinos can could speak English, can understand English.
You had 8th grade.
So I got my 8th grade, that built me up there, and they picked me up as a foreman. I only work about a year on the labor department.
Cutting.
Yeah, cutting cane.
And then you moved to foreman.
Yeah, they picked me up as a foreman.
Because of your English.
I can write. I'm very fast on arithmetic.
Yeah. How about your uncle? Did he continue as a laborer?
Yeah, he continued as a laborer. He did not change.
And tell him he was the president of the camp.
And
200-300 people.
Oh.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Did they live in a barrack?
Yeah, they get a
living camp.
In a camp.
It's like a big something
camp,
like an army
barracks,
you know, something like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
They get houses.
Camp.
Or they build the plantation, build the houses for the people. So I stayed there. I enjoy myself with my job. I forgot everything about going to school already. See.
Well, you already became foreman. How did your salary increase when you became foreman?
Well, that was law before $1.35 a day, from the beginning.
And then
I improved myself. They like me, people like me, you know, people. Japanese like me too, because I could understand them. And well, I'm not a troublemaker. I'm really a friendly man, you know. I know, because I told my countrymen. That's the only way we can stay with them. Yeah.
By being friendly.
Friendly, right.
Getting along.
Right. So I was a foreman from the time until I left the plantation.
So you were a foreman from 1928 to what time? 1942. Oh, just 43. During the war?
Yeah,
during. You stayed at the plantation the whole time?
When the war broke out, then my wife came, Honolulu, because my brother is in Lua, so yeah, we. She came, her wife. She came Honolulu first. We could not get out from the plantation at that time.
War time.
Without special recommendation or pass, something like that.
You needed a pass to get
you
on?
You need.
Yeah, wartime.
You got a will.
Even as Filipino?
Restricted, yeah.
Because, what do you call it?
Martial law.
That's after Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Because they need the labor. Yeah. Any place they need labor, you cannot get out without any good reason. So ladies get the first chance to come out. So she came out first from the plantation.
Oh.
So she worked in the Navy Yard a couple months. Then
tell him I got sick.
We'll go back first. We'll get to that. We have to go back to were gonna tell us about the association where you were the president.
Oh,
you became the foreman in 1928, and then you were the foreman for 15 years until 1942 when you got out. But during that time, you stayed at the plantation, and you were mainly a foreman there and improved yourself along the way. I'm interested in what did you do on the plantation? What sorts of activities? What did the Filipinos there do?
They put me as in charge to watch the level, them. See, whatever they don't understand, they come to me and explain them to them.
See. Kind of a middleman.
Middleman, right, explaining the way. So, during that time, I really, picked me up as a good man, leading all the people. So when they go cut cane, you know, Filipinos, they don't know how to figure. They don't know how to figure how much they get and what they cut the cane, from what they cut from the cane.
I see. Yeah.
So what they did to me is to bring me up and put as a skill man, skill the weight the cane, what they cut, and figure how much they got. See?
Timbang.
See? Because that was the most trouble of the Filipinos. Sometimes they tell the Japanese, you crook me, you know, give me right money. See?
So you were there, in a sense, you were there to protect the
rest of
Filipinos
the
from getting their fair share of the weight. So they were paid by the amount of cane
they cut.
They cut.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good. They go on the cutting cane group.
Part of it.
Yeah. If you go in the cutting cane group, but if you go in the daily work, that's different.
How much per pound or per?
Was cheap before, was only 28 cents a ton. See, one ton of cane, 28 cents. You see how hard to get dollar.
Is it really gonna stay?
Very hard to get a dollar a day with this cane cartel those days in our place.
Then you have to carry the cane,
eh? Yeah, you have to carry the cane to the flume.
Yeah.
That's all and together it's with the. So, that's what I did quite long. Every day I managed the laborers, cutting cane, 40, 50 people, 150 people.
Did you make the assignments as to who works in the cane and who works in the day labor?
Sometimes I do, because some Filipinos, our countrymen, when they see the good cane where to cut, they always go there. They leave the bad part. See? So I have to negotiate with them and give them some kind of contract to cut the poor place, to cut the bad place. That's the only way you can cut the bad place, because the cutting idea is to push that cane all one time together, like this block. Yeah, you have to cut all that cane, go like that. You don't have to like. You cannot leave any small place without cutting the cane. So what I do, I give them a contract, I talk to them nicely and explain them how much they want for that. So they we are graduated in the Katake. Yeah. That's how we moved the carpenter. Yeah.
Who was your supervisor? Who was in charge of you, over you?
Oh, you get one plantation man.
Howley guy?
Howley guy. Yeah.
You Howley. Remember his name, Mama?
His name was... there is a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
The contractor in the field is to contract the whole cane to be cut. And I work under them. I work under them to see that the levels have to be well organized and do the job every day. That's what I do. So the contractor was, what is his name? Kai?
Kai?
Japanese.
Oh, Japanese.
Japanese.
Ah, Japanese.
The field boss all Howley. The field boss. Howley, American.
Oh, Kai was the boss.
Kai is the constructor, yeah. The whole thing. And I work under them. I work under all these Howley supervisor, but I am the most below this contractor to take care of all the people and move the work.
Were there any Japanese under you too? Some laborers, or were there?
Oh yeah, when they joined the cutting group,
yeah.
Some Japanese. I do the skilling too.
Were they mostly Ilocanos at this point, Mano? Or
mostly. We design only about 5%.
Majority.
Majority Ilocano that time.
So your Ilocano would help too.
Yeah, and like I said, I deal with good with the Japanese, the field boss, the American boss. I talk with them nice and explain them what the people like, and if that's the way they like, well, give consideration. Eh?
Yeah.
So they give me the privilege to give consideration to the working men, how much they like. As long as I don't go over the price, plantation price.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember any incidents, like the kinds of complaints that the Filipinos had outside of the not knowing how much they should get paid for the weighing? What sorts of problems did they come up with in the camp? Complaints or difficulties that you had to handle?
The complaint was, they don't get along with the Japanese.
Laborers, or not the
bosses? Bosses, Luna, that's all, foreman.
Oh, the Luna.
Yeah, because those days is very hard, you know. They cheat the Filipinos.
Yeah.
They can push you around like that. But since I was in that job, they cannot push the Filipinos. Anybody boss is pushing the Filipino, they gotta take something first. We gotta talk man to man before they can push around the Philippines. That was the real progress of my job with the Filipinos those days. So they complain that Japanese, you cheat them bad. See, they don't give right, they don't pay them right, they don't figure out their money. Because when they can go home, when the Filipinos going home, they start to figure what they make a day.
Yeah,
they go home and think. See, if they lose only one couple cent, who they get mad? They really mad, the Filipinos before. See, and then they make the trouble out of the thing.
What sort of thing would they do? What sort of trouble would they cause? Would they argue with the Luna? Or
well,
would they
try and
box him?
Yeah, some they do, you know, before.
Hot-headed.
Yeah.
No, not, they know.
Well, he's cheating too.
Yeah. Before I never get that job, some Japanese get leaking.
Yeah.
Leaking with Filipinos, because when you go around where they cut the cane, where they cut the cane, they make a bundle, if they wanted to be in uniform, but sometimes you miss one small one, eh? When the Japanese came in too smart, he go find the small one, he go look around and he find the small one. The Filipino, he got mad. Huh? he complained on that.
Yeah.
So they decided to put one in charge like me. So
I see. Then your coming in charge was a transition. You bringing a Filipino foreman,
right,
to replace the, to improve the relationship.
The relation between the Japanese or how is like that.
What sorts of activities did you organize for the group, for the Filipinos? Were you in charge of that too, Manong?
Yeah,
like social, volleyball,
oh,
sports,
yeah.
Boxing, whatever.
We do a lot of things, boxing, volleyball, softball, no baseball because baseball is very hard to
need a big field.
Yeah, really too hard for the Filipinos. But softball, volleyball, mostly all the things I arrange them all, I teach them all.
This is for after work and on the
after
weekend?
After work.
Weekend, yeah. Did you work 5 days or 6 days a week?
6 days.
Seven days.
When somebody go out the field, they call me, go to check the men. I just go check them, couple hours, come back.
So after work, you could still have energy enough to play game?
Oh yeah, because the captain men, they get no limited time on the field. If you can make your dollar fast, you can go home fast. They don't hold you.
Yeah.
The only thing they can, the only thing they can hold the captain man when they need the cane to
a lot of
cane for the male
for contract.
Yeah, that's why they hold the captain man to stay more longer hours to cut some more cane. So I told them, the faster you can work, the faster you can go home. So they go early, go ahead, cut.
Yeah.
Couple hours, 3 hours, I get a go around and wait the cane. They make about dollar half, dollar, $2, they go home. See? So they get enough time to play in the camp, like volleyball.
What other kinds of activities could the Filipinos have done? Like, is there a nearby, was there a town nearby that they could go into for recreation? Like many people talk of the past, like there was a lot of places where they could go and gamble, or maybe like salones de baile, you know, things like that. did those sorts of things exist out where you were?
Tada a social bar?
No,
the
place we our camp is one of the biggest camp at the time.
Yeah.
Mostly 150 to 200 people inside.
Oh, big. It's a
big camp. That's the biggest camp we get.
Oh, camp. They
camp,
call it a camp.
Camp, yeah.
Yeah.
So the people, they go to town, enjoy yourself, but they don't go
far,
see? Only once a week, once a month, they go to town, Hilo.
Yeah, to Hilo. Yeah.
Well, what we do, we form a good good arrangement with the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Pahalahu you got about seven or eight camps. So we make a good arrangement in every camp. I arrange them that we do this for our recreation. Challenge each other.
Oh, yeah. Each one has a
we
team.
Designate, we make our night here, and you make your another night for the next week. And one for the next week. So we stay in the camp enjoying ourselves, because that's what the boss likes.
He doesn't want to go out.
He wants to see the people play in the plantation.
Was there any place on the plantation where the Filipinos could spend their money? Was there a store?
Yeah, they had a big store.
And most of the Filipinos went to that store.
That's where they buy their goods, the cacao, everything.
Were the prices, how were the prices at that store? Were they the same as Hilo or a little higher or?
And who owned the store?
Chinese.
Japanese.
Yeah. Mostly Japanese, Chinese.
And the prices were the same as Hilo? Or more expensive?
Higher.
Just a little bit, because
little
the transportation
higher,
of the goods is charged.
Expected to be expected a little higher.
Did Filipinos try to put up a store, Manong? Like have their own store or sell things?
Well, those days.
What kind of things were they selling among themselves?
Those days is not permitted to the Filipinos.
Really?
Yeah. Filipinos is not permitted to run business. The only labor.
In the plantation?
Sure. We are only labor.
Well, but we can go out and sell.
Well, you guys, the small business, like ladies business, ladies. They go sell the kankanena,
yeah.
The bud.
Yeah.
Well, that is in the canvas for the...
Did the Chinese or Japanese stores sell Filipino food, Filipino delicacies? Like, could you buy any kind of Filipino things in the Chinese store?
No.
So how did you how did you get Filipino food? Cook it yourself?
Cook it ourselves. Yeah. Cook ourselves. Those days, no more. No more restaurant or coffee shop. Those days, no.
We raise,
only one.
We raise our own vegetables.
You raise your own
vegetables? Raise our own vegetables.
Near the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when during weekend, they make the kankanena, they go sell all around. Because
little negocio.
Yeah. Because Filipinos cannot go out the camp those days.
This is
they don't
pre-war.
Allow them go other places.
Before the war?
Before the war.
And during the war?
Yeah, because they cannot
everybody.
Yeah, I know during, but before the war, you couldn't leave the plantation.
No can. They, when they build the... When
unless
they,
you get permission.
Yeah, when they put out the martial law.
That's during the war already.
That's during the war already. You cannot go out no more.
But even before that?
Before that, can you?
Can, but if possible... The boss like keep all the men.
He wants
all the men. That's why he tried to make anything for them to enjoy.
So that's
themselves.
Why he liked your idea of keeping the
activities.
In the camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we run that activities among camp to camp.
Yeah.
And if you want to go other camp in the other plantation, we are allowed to go in the plantation too.
This boss is the Japanese
no.
boss. The house.
The manager.
But like, how about the Chinese and the Japanese? Are they allowed to go out of the plantation, or?
Everybody.
Everyone.
Stay, everyone. Because whenever they caught you go out without any permission, the camp police will catch you.
So they
bring you back.
There was a police, a security force.
Yeah, there is a plantation policeman. From
how
the
many
plantation.
Were they? You think,
for
camp?
Two or three.
Mm.
Two.
Did they wear uniforms?
No.
No? But they carry guns?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do before.
Yeah.
He got the gun.
I think he was for the...
Manager?
Yeah, no.
No?
Manager too, and for the... For the island, state?
Oh, he's like a... He has a position with the city police.
Mm-hmm.
Are these Hawaiians or are they... What
group?
Were the police?
Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Hawaiian.
Some Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
But no, when you say that the Chinese and the Japanese were allowed to have a store, does that mean they have to have permission from the plantation company?
Yeah, they have to get
because it's on the plantation.
The plantation. Yeah. They
but
have.
But when you say Filipinos were not allowed to have stores, does that mean
allowed? How come Jigo has stores?
No. That was
after that
was the beginning about 1927, 28 to 930. Between 1935, that's when we get improved, the Filipinos improving.
Yeah.
They find out that Filipinos is not only labor, some can do a business. So they give them chance to get a business, but not in the plantation.
Yeah.
They have to go out the plantation. Area.
So initiative was coming from some Filipinos who were thinking that they would like to do some other thing other than just being laborers.
Yeah.
Because when 1927 to 1930, I still for men, 1935, I still for men, and I know all the Filipinos newcomers, right? I know all, I know them all. Because they only give me the job to watch all the newcomers, so you know. And then all newcomers, I know them. And from that time, there are Filipinos coming in. Some they get to high school already, see?
Okay.
Higher grade, higher education. So the people, the Filipinos who knows more education and know something about business, they could hardly work on the field. See? They don't want to dairy their hand. You know, Filipinos, they don't want to get dairy. So, those people who can manage this business, the plantation let them go. He don't hold them.
He don't hold them.
Yeah, because no sense. Labor and business people no can work together. Yeah, labor very hard. Anything they see, they already they go for the post already. They don't like.
What religious activities did you have, madam? Like, did the Filipinos go to church? Was there a small chapel in the plantation? Was there a priest or a Protestant minister who would come and provide services on Sunday?
Well, in the plantation we live, they get Catholic church in the center, and they get the Filipino Methodist church in the center.
Filipino Methodist.
So what? Whoever want to go to the church, they let them go, but not in the camp. They don't come in the camp and preach like that.
Was the priest a Filipino or was he a Portuguese or?
Filipino.
Filipino priest.
Filipino priest. Yeah.
And the minister?
The minister.
Filipino.
Filipino. Yeah.
Leaning.
What was the name of the minister?
Leaning.
You remember?
That's the Apolino.
They get big family here, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the Catholic priest's name? You remember?
The name.
Was he from the Philippines or was he ordained here?
Oh, here.
Here.
Here on mainland.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your organization that used to organize the recreational activities. Did you have a name for it? Did you call it something?
Well, in our camp, we get our.